Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. What were the works of Abraham? You may remember in John 8, which we'll turn to that passage in a few minutes, Christ talked about the works of Abraham. So what were the works of Abraham? We know that Abraham was called the father of the faithful. And Christ told the religious leaders that if they were Abraham's children, that they would do the works of Abraham. Now Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham has it made, that he will be in the first resurrection, in that first or that better resurrection, which takes place at the sound of the seventh trump, the last trump, at the return of Jesus Christ. Abraham is promised that better resurrection. Now let's turn to John 8 and see what Christ meant when he told the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jewish religious system of his day, religious leaders of his day, that if they were Abraham's children, that they would do the works of Abraham. Seems to be the popular belief today is that all you have to do is believe. And they turn to Galatians 3, where it talks about the faith of Abraham, which he did have faith. And you and I should have faith. But Abraham had some works as well. John 8, and we began in verse 29. John 8 and verse 29. And he who sent me is with me. This is Christ speaking here. The Father has not left me alone, for all I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Now notice this, my friends. Many believed in Christ as Christ spoke those words. Now, I've been going through a series of programs on this broadcast asking you, is all you have to do to be saved, to have salvation, is to believe? Is that all there is to it? Now notice, these people here, they believed. It says, he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, people that believed him, my friends, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Yes, in other words, Christ is saying that there's something that you've got to do. You've got to do more than just believe. You've got to abide in my word. You've got to obey my word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you abide in Christ's word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from sin, free from the slavery of sin, free from the death penalty as well, that second death. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Those people didn't understand that they were still living in sin and that they were a slave to sin, just as the world is today. If you live in sin, if you live according to the course of this world, which Satan is leading and guiding and directing this world. He is the God of this world. And if you are living his way, following him, then you are a slave to Satan. You are a slave to sin, my friends. It's simple. It's clear. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Christ states it very plainly, doesn't he? And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Other words, Christ is saying here in verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever. In other words, if you continue to be a slave of sin, you will die. And he means the second death. You will not abide forever. But if you become a son of God, a servant of God, then you will live forever. That is salvation Christ is speaking about here. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Yes, you're made free. Through Christ, by his sacrifice, you are made free from sin. But that doesn't give us license to go on and sin and break God's law. We must continue to obey God, is what Christ is saying. He goes on here in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Says his word had no place in those people. And we may want to ask ourselves, does Christ's word, does God's word have a place in you and me today? We may want to ask ourselves this. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And we know later on in this chapter, God, Jesus Christ here, tells the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leader, the religious sect of that day, that they are of their father, the devil. In other words, they are obeying him. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what were the works of Abraham? That's what we ask. What were the works of Abraham? They said that they were of the seed of Abraham, and they were through the lineage of Abraham. Physically speaking, they were seed of Abraham. And Christ said, if you're spiritual seed of Abraham, through Christ, in Christ, then you will be doing the works of Abraham. Now, what were the works of Abraham? Haven't you always heard that all you have to do to be saved is just believe? Now, when Christ said, if you were the children of Abraham, he was speaking spiritually, meaning children of Abraham in Christ. Did Abraham only believe? Is that all it took to become the father of the faithful and to be promised a better resurrection? Notice some of the works of Abraham. Notice in Genesis 22, and we began in verse 1. Genesis 22 and verse 1, where it tells us of some of the works of Abraham. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now notice what Abraham did here, beginning in verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God told him. Now Abraham didn't say, well, God, I believe you, and I believe you mean what you say. Well, I really don't believe you mean what you say. I don't believe that you could ask me to sacrifice my son. I'll wait till tomorrow. I'll wait till the next day. I'll just put this situation off. I just don't think I want to do it today. Then the next day comes, and Abraham says, well, you know, I just don't feel like obeying you today either, so I'll wait till the next day. And first thing you know, Abraham had forgotten what God would have told him to have done, or what God had told him to do. But Abraham didn't do that, did he? There was more to what Abraham did than just believe. Abraham rose early the next morning. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, my friends, Abraham was a type of God the Father here. Isaac was a type of Jesus Christ. And Isaac was dead in Abraham's mind, in his heart, for 3 days and three nights, just as Christ was dead 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Can you imagine how Abraham felt when Isaac asked that question? And Abraham knew that he was going to have to kill his own son, sacrifice his own son. And his son was asking, where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And this was almost the 3 days and the three nights here. And Abraham was just a few minutes away from carrying this out, in his mind at least. But the thing is, my friend, Abraham did more than just believe. He acted. He worked. This was part of the works of Abraham. He obeyed God. He didn't care what the cost would be. He knew God could raise his son up if he did actually have to kill him. He had faith, of course, but he had works. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself for a lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Then Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Was going to go through it, and in his mind he had already done this 3 days and three nights ago, my friends. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So this was a great test for Abraham. And God had to test him because God made a lot of unconditional promises to Abraham upon this work that Abraham did, upon his faith and upon his work. And he demonstrated, he proved that faith by his works. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord Will Provide. And you know, that's the one beautiful thing that we can derive from this passage, is that if you obey God, no matter how grim, how dim the situation looks, if you obey God, God says he will provide. Now, it takes faith to obey, doesn't it? But it takes obedience to prove your faith, my friends. And that's what God is speaking of here. The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. Now this is another subject, but this is speaking to Israel, speaking about Israel possessing the gates of our enemies, and that we would be multiplied as the stars of heaven and as the sand upon the seashore. Now notice verse 18. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Well, my friends, I see my time is just about up. We will continue this theme next week. If you would like to tune in next week, we will pick this right up and continue it. In the meantime, if you would like to know more about this topic, about the works of Abraham, we invite you to request our free booklet, What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation? And you may want to request our free Bible correspondence course, which there is no charge, no obligation for either one of these. No one will call on you. No one will ask you for money. We won't ask you to send us a free gift so that we will send you these booklets. Not at all, my friends. It's completely and totally free. So for your free article, What Kind of Faith is Required for Salvation, and the Bible correspondence course, just dial toll-free 1-800-611-8080. That's toll-free 1-800-611-8080.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship, located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.